This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Hi, this is Doyle Albee, and welcome to the PR is Dead podcast. Each episode, we try to talk about some ways that you can get some good news for yourself or for your company. So last episode, we talked to Lisa Rickman, who's the online editor of Colorado Biz Magazine. I'm based out of Boulder, so it was great to be able to talk to somebody local. And I thought Lisa had some just great advice for us. So I thought this time we might talk about what happens if you call or email, leave a message for somebody like Lisa, and they call you back. I mean, that's good news, right? But I can't tell you how many people finally get that call back and they go into panic mode and they don't know what to do and they freeze up. And quite honestly, many times they make some serious mistakes that can cost them the opportunity to get another call back or to even follow through on this great opportunity. So I thought this episode, let's go down a list of some things, kind of do's and don'ts of when the reporter calls you back. So a couple of things before we start on our list. So I want to remind everybody that when I use the word reporter in this podcast, if this is your first time here, I'm talking about a reporter for a daily newspaper. I'm talking about a blogger. I'm talking about an assignment editor for a local television station. I'm talking about anybody that's in the media that wants you to comment or wants to write a story about you. So I don't want to go over that every time I mention the word reporter, but I want to let you know that's what I'm thinking. The second thing is we talk about this list of what to do when a reporter calls. This is what to do when a reporter calls, and it's a positive thing because you've pitched that reporter or that reporter wants your expertise. This is not a list of advice of what to do if you've been charged with a serious crime and the reporter would like to talk to you and get your side of the story. Please consult an attorney. But all kidding aside, this is truly for the good news side of things when you want to be a spokesperson and you've made some pitches, you've got some good content, you've been writing a blog, whatever it is that you've done, that you've got a reporter's attention. And they've called you and they want to talk to you about it. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So the very first thing I like to go over with anyone in this situation, and I don't care if you've been a corporate spokesperson for many years, as I have, or if this is the very first time a member of the media has darkened your doorway, if you will, the first thing you do is don't panic. It's another person doing their job. They're making a call. Even if it's somebody that, you know, a reporter that you might like, it's a, you know, a local celebrity or even a national celebrity, this person's calling you to get information from you, and they're looking for your expertise. And so it doesn't mean be cocky, but it certainly means, you know, acknowledge that and be professional and look forward to giving them what they need. One of the things that I always tell people is don't take the call cold directly. So you're sitting at your desk, your cell phone rings, you pick it up, and it's, "Hi, this is Bob with Channel One, and I'd like to talk to you about this press release that you sent out or about this this email that you sent me." My counsel is always to say, "Boy, I would love to help you out. I've got somebody in my office. Can you give me just a couple of details? Let me finish up this meeting in the next couple of minutes here, and I'll call you right back." Now, let's be clear. There's probably not a meeting in your office. If there is, all the better. But the point here is you want to get what the reporter wants. The reporter says, I really enjoyed the email that you sent me, and I would like to get three ideas for kids to do on a snowy day if the power's out. So I want to talk to you about that." And so you want to ask a couple of key questions. That's great. Is there anything else I can help you out with? You also want to find out what the person's deadline is. You want to say, "Hey, I can call you back in just about 5 minutes. Will that work for your deadline?" Sometimes if a reporter's writing for a longer lead publication, say a monthly magazine, they might not need to call back even that day. But it's good to do it if you can fit it into your schedule. But if you're talking to a daily reporter, a blogger, somebody in television news, they might truly need that information in the next couple of minutes. That's not a lack of planning on their part. That's simply the deadlines in which they live. So it's really important that you understand that. Hang up the phone, take a deep breath, and make some notes for yourself. One of two things I almost promise you will happen if you take a reporter call cold. Either A, you'll forget to say something that could be really cool and really, you know, really drive the story home, and you'll hang up the phone and say, "Oh, I meant to say this one thing, and I forgot to do it." Worse yet, you're going to say something you didn't mean to say. You're going to let a customer name slip that you weren't supposed to talk about. Something bad can happen. So I'm a great believer in just hang up the phone, take a deep breath, grab a piece of paper and a pen, and sketch some notes for yourself. And then pick up the phone, even if it's a couple minutes later, and call the reporter back. Thank them for their patience. Thank you so much for letting me do that. It was great to just finish up that quick chat. Now, I understand you want to talk about three things to do with kids on snowy days when the power's out. And then you've got your notes together. You won't forget to make a point. You'll be relaxed. It will make for a better interview process. And I think that's just really good advice. No matter how many interviews you end up doing in your career, it's always good to just kind of gather your thoughts a little bit. I have a reporter friend that worked at the NBC affiliate here in Denver, Colorado, which has been a top station here for many, many years. And he talks about a doctor that he used. Whenever there was a health story of any kind, there was one doctor that he went to because the guy was great. He understood quick sound bites. He would kind of drop what he was doing, hopefully not surgery. I'm kidding, of course. But he would make himself available. He would even meet them on the curb so they could pull up in a truck, get out a camera, do a quick interview on a nice sunny day and get back to the studio with the footage. And he went to that doctor over and over again because that doctor understood deadlines. My reporter friend needed the information when he needed it because the story was breaking. But when you think about it, he probably still did exactly what I'm recommending that you do. When he got the call from the NBC affiliate, they said, there's a story breaking on some new disease or whatever it might be, and we'd like to come over and talk to you. Great, he says, be here in 15 minutes. I'm happy to help you out. And I almost promise you, he took a few minutes of those 15 minutes to jot some notes for himself, get his thoughts together. Even though he didn't obviously take notes on camera with him, just writing them down, gathering your thoughts, getting that together, that's a really, really important thing to do. And I really strongly recommend you take a moment to do that. So once you've gathered your thoughts and you're ready to do the interview, One of the first ways that you can really blow the interview, you've sent a great pitch to the reporter, you've told them you're an expert in the field, they agree, they called you back, and you launch into a sales pitch. First thing is a part of your interview. Just don't do it. It's tempting. If I get a call and they say, hey, Doyle, would you tell us three really good ideas for public relations? If I started with, well, here at Metzger LB Public Relations, I can give you some great examples of some things we've done for clients. And in fact, my phone number is 303, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Don't do it. If I want to buy an ad, go buy an ad. You want to stick to the reporter's questions and you want to make sure that they are getting what they need from you as an expert, not as a salesperson. The fact that you own a firm, that you own a daycare center or a bakery or a public relations firm will come through on its own. You don't need to push that through. Instead, what you need to do is come off as a credible expert and somebody that everybody out there would like to do business with. That's just, I can't stress that enough. The next thing you really want to understand and really pay attention to, and this is where that preparation comes in, is make sure you understand the medium. And so I say that on a couple of different levels. One is deadlines. As I talked about, if somebody's working on a story that is due to their editor in 2.5 weeks, if you don't call them back the same day or if you're not able to schedule some time with them for the same day, it's probably not that big a deal. A blogger, an hour can make the difference between you getting the interview and somebody else getting the interview. Daily newspapers, the same thing. Broadcast, the news comes on at, here in the Mountain Time Zone, the news comes on at 5 p.m. and 10 p.m. And there's no changing that. We don't get to just move the news out because you had a really busy day and you couldn't do the interview. They'll just move on to somebody else. And it's really important, too, to understand what that medium needs. So, for example, newspapers need basic answers. They're calling you to translate a potentially complicated topic into something that the average daily reader of a daily newspaper can understand. If you're talking to a tech journalist in your field, they might be looking for very deep technical expertise. And that's where you want to really be able to go into great detail, give long and thoughtful answers. The broadcast, they need short, quick little answers. You don't, an entire television news story is typically a couple of minutes long. So the quotes are 10 to 20 seconds long at the most. So, if you ramble on for a minute and a half, you know, you're either going to get left on the cutting room floor, as they say, or they're going to just take a piece of your quote, and it might not be the best piece that you want. So you want to make sure that you've always got the opportunity to really put your best foot forward out there, and that begins with understanding what they need. When I talk about understanding what they need too, it's also really important that if you don't have a fact at hand, don't say it. And one of my favorite examples is with numbers. If you say to a reporter, for example, if they ask you a question and you say, you know, I think the answer to that is 5, but I'm not positive, let me get back to you. And it turns out the answer is 4. Guess what? The number 5 has been written down in notes someplace. Even if you call back right after the interview and say, I was right, it is 4, it is not 5, you've just introduced the chance for an error to happen. If you don't know the answer to something, say so. I don't have that information. Let me call you back with that. Then there's not the risk that they'll look in the wrong place in their notes or miss your phone call, for example. If they have to run off and do the story very quickly, they could miss the call back. So make sure that as you give answers, they are truly the answers that you want quoted. And if you need to get more information or don't know the answer to something, completely okay, acknowledge it, and then get back when you say you're going to get back. And let me really stress that throughout this entire podcast today. If you get that call and you say, you know, you want to take a moment to gather your thoughts and say they'll call you back in 5 minutes, call back in 5 minutes. Don't call back in 10 minutes or 20 minutes or the next day. Don't forget. Same thing if you owe a reporter a piece of information that you didn't have in an interview, call them back. Even if it's to call back and say, I'm really sorry, I looked. I don't know the answer to that and I can't find the answer to that. Close the loop. Never leave a reporter hanging. That's the best way never to get the second phone call. And it's just one of the worst things you can do, and it's really unprofessional. Reporters will come back to the people that return those phone calls. One of the other things that's real important, in my opinion, when a reporter calls is to be as welcoming as you possibly can. You know, at the end of the day, there's a lot of experts out there, and anybody in their professional life wants to talk to somebody who's not only an expert, but is friendly, is nice, takes the time to explain, makes the reporter feel welcome, that they're not an intrusion in their day. Even if you get to the point where you're doing this a lot and it can kind of poke a hole in your schedule, be welcoming. Take time for the reporter. Explain things that they don't understand. One of my favorite interviews of all time was I was working for a data storage company about the time that we were moving from hard drives that were in the 800, 900 megabyte. Yes, for those of you who are young, we used to have megabyte hard drives out there, to gigabytes. And so we were starting to talk to a reporter about a 2 gigabyte drive. So this was in the mid 90s, I believe. And the reporter said, boy, can you help me out here? I don't know what a gigabyte is. And I said, yeah, that's a very fair question. We talk about megabytes a lot. And I said, you know, essentially, you know, there's a lot of math involved, but essentially 1,000 megabytes is a gigabyte. So a 2 gigabyte drive is essentially a 2,000 megabyte drive. And the reporter said, oh, that's very helpful. That's great. One final question. What's a megabyte? And I was dealing with a business reporter. This was a good reporter. It was a bright person, but it was just, you know, computers weren't as much of a part of our daily lives as they are now. And it was a very fair question. Had I been snarky, had I laughed at the question, had I been demeaning in my answer, that reporter wouldn't have gone on to become a very big fan of our company and give us lots of positive coverage over the years. And in fact, call on us to comment on a lot of things to do with data storage, even when it wasn't directly related to our company, which was very good. So make time, be welcoming. If you're crunched for time, let the reporter know. I'm happy to help you out, but I do have something I can't move in about 20 minutes. Can we do this very quickly? Very fair statement, but it's not, oh, geez, I just don't have time for this today. Can't you do the story tomorrow? The answer is no. So you want to be kind, and you want to be welcoming, and you want to be professional. Another thing that will happen to you as you get out there, I'm quite sure, is you're going to get a call on something that is related to your area, but it's not really something you're comfortable talking about. So let's go back to our daycare example again. You might be very comfortable with 3 great ideas for kids on a snowy day when the power goes out, but you might get a call from a reporter with a very deep question on developmental psychology, for example, or something that's a very specialized field that's not your field of expertise. So 2 really important things to remember when and if this ever happens to you. 1, don't go off the reservation, as they say. Just make sure you stick to what you know. If you have a degree in developmental psychology and are comfortable commenting on that, by all means do so. If not, it's absolutely okay to say, boy, that is just outside of my field of expertise, and I'm not real comfortable commenting on that. Why? Obviously, the reporter, if you say something that's wrong, or if you, even if you say something that's right, but you're not qualified to be doing it, the reporter can get in all sorts of hot water for going to a source that didn't make sense. So make sure that you are able to comment on what it is that you're being asked to comment on, even if it's in your field. If it's too detailed or a specialty that you don't have, don't comment on it. However, the next thing that you can do, and this works great in a couple of different examples, is let's say you get that call about childhood psychology, and you might say, boy, that's way outside of my field of expertise. But my friend Steve is a psychologist, and I'd be more than happy to introduce you to him. He might be able to help you out on this or know somebody who could. Once again, you've just endeared yourself to a reporter. You've helped them find a source. Even if it's not you, that's okay. They'll remember that, and they'll remember that you were thoughtful and helped get them to the right place. This also works even if it is something that you can comment on. But let's say it's a very broad or a very wide open field. It's okay to say, well, here's what I would do in that situation, and I would love to also introduce you to my friend Steve, who might be able to expound upon this more if you'd like more detail on that. The reporter may or may not take you up on that, but it's something that is really great to offer. When I do interviews about public relations with reporters and business reporters, we do a lot of tech public relations. We do a lot of B2B. We don't do a lot of consumer packaged goods work. We don't do a lot of travel and tourism work, for example. So I might do an interview and talk to a reporter and then conclude it by saying, you know, some of the questions that you asked are very frequently used in fields that I don't do a lot of work in. You might want to call my friend so-and-so at another agency and chat with them a little bit about it if you'd like another perspective on the story. Reporters really appreciate that. You don't want to necessarily send them, you know, if you own a daycare place and there's a daycare place right across the street, I'm not advising you to help them out with their public relations. But at the same time, if there's something that you can do in a collaborative, non-competitive way that makes sense and can help the reporter write a better story, I fully, fully recommend that you take advantage of those opportunities. Well, this certainly isn't a complete list. There's lots of other nuances when talking to a reporter, but I wanted to give you a good idea, and hopefully you're able to take advantage of some of the things that we talk about in this podcast and start to get calls from reporters. It's exciting, it's fun, and it's always great to see your name and your company in print, online, on television, on the radio, and hopefully it drives some business to your door. So give this some thought. I would love it if you could take a minute and review this on iTunes if you have a minute. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Doyle Albee on Twitter. You can also drop me an email. I'm at doyle.albee@gmail.com. I'll put all that in the show notes as well. And like always, I like to close with a quote from about the media from somebody, in this case, in the media. So John Battelle, who is a former editor, an entrepreneur, just does some really interesting work. And I think he's got a great point about how the media is changing. So our quote this week is, just as the music industry still wishes for the days when it controlled its own production and distribution, the media and marketing world still yearns for the silver bullet of the 30-second spot on Seinfeld, even though it knows those days are over. And it's kind of what we've been talking about here on the podcast. The news business is changing. Gives you a great opportunity to get some good news out there for your company. I hope you get a chance to do that. So until next time, let me know if there's anything that you'd like to hear on this podcast. Drop us a review on iTunes if you get a moment, and I hope you get some good news. Thanks for listening.